I'm Sylvia Burgos Toffness, and this is Deep Roots Radio. Every week, my guests help us connect the dots between what we eat and how it's grown, because every single food dollar we spend either protects or degrades the environment, produces foods with high nutrition or empty calories, and either helps pay a fair wage or keeps farm workers among the working poor. We get to make that choice every time we push a cart through the grocery store, visit the farmer's market, and eat at a restaurant. I hope you enjoy this interview.
One of the things I just love about spring is being able to look out on the fields and notice the wildflowers and the herbs that grow there. And boy, I am determined to learn more of what I actually have growing under my own feet, because it is not only a wonderful salad, let's say, but it's also a real apothecary of medicinal herbs.
Really?
We've got yarrow and plantain, different kinds of, mullein, which is a herb that grows to be 5 feet tall. And I've got this treasure that I really don't know that much about, and I really do need to know more about. And hopefully I'm kind of looking through some books, and here I've got one in front of me, the Eastern Central Medicinal Plants and Herb Book, a Peterson Field Guide, that I also have just learned was instrumental in the beginnings of herbal interest in our guest this morning.
Okay.
Who is not only a trained and practicing chiropractor, but a wildcrafter, an experienced and taught wildcrafter. That's someone who knows how to find and use edible plants and medicinal herbs. And a mushroom hunter.
Oh, boy.
And we all know that that's coming up soon. And that, in fact, is why we have her on this morning. I know that the weather is inclement, but, you know, mushroom season can't be that far off. Good morning, Dr. Kelly Hagenbuch. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just fine. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you very much. Now, Kelly, Dr. Kelly, you are in this region. Where are you practicing?
Well, I practice in the cities at the moment, but I still do the herbalism and mushroom hunting and educational piece actually out of Somerset, Wisconsin.
What prompted that?
That's a pretty big question. I think originally it was because I was raised in the woods. My parents were climbers, and so I got an early education of just living in the woods and being around wild plants all the time when I was little. And so I'm first of all, I'm just very comfortable being outside all the time. And then I was injured in 2003, 2004. I was just about bedridden with an injury. And as a part of rehabilitation, I took very, very slow walks through the forest. And I think because I had to slow down my regular pace, it made me notice many more things than I had been noticing before, namely the plants and the mushrooms, and I started to become much more curious about the medicinal history of using plants and as food as well as medicine. And so I began to study on my own, and then I finally actually got more training from several different locations on being an herbalist, actually.
You know, Dr. Kelly, I think that's one of the things that I'm finding in just talking to fellow farmers, that there seems to be a peaking interest in trying to understand and actually see more of what's immediately around us in the way of herbs, both culinary and medicinal. In fact, I had mentioned to Dave Corbett here, our co-host and engineer and producer, that I was at a conference, the Organic Farming Conference that's held annually in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I was there just about 3-4 weeks ago, and there were several classes held in herbal studies. So one was a day-long class in medicinal herbs, as well as a one-hour workshop, and then another workshop in culinary herbs. And I'll tell you, you couldn't even get into those workshops. There were hundreds of people, people sitting on the floor, people climbing off the rafters practically, really, really finding that they want to know more, they want to use more and grow more. Is that something that you're finding too? Do you see that interest growing?
I do. I get some requests for gardening classes, and actually that's not even my area. My area is more finding the plants as they're growing in the wild. I find that, I'm not a farmer. I have gotten into gardening pretty recently, and so I don't consider myself an expert gardener by any means, but I find it much more fascinating, both nutritionally with what you can get from wild plants in edibles, and also the plants that choose to grow in the area where you're looking. There are definite reasons why they choose to grow there, and so I find all of that fascinating as well.
Wow. So as you've kind of gotten, as you have actually mastered and continue to master herbalism, and I know that you are a graduate of the Midwest School of Herbal Studies and have had hundreds of hours of additional instruction. As you mentioned something just a few minutes ago, which was about going slowly through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And that speed, that intensity actually provided you the opportunity to see more of what was around you. And I guess I just want to put this question to Dave Corbett here. Dave, do you find that that's one of the pluses in farming the way that we do?
I think so. Although I must confess that I have pastured cows for over 30 years, and we have quite a woodlot on the farm. And while I've taken pleasure in watching what grows, I've never taken that next step to figure out what it is and why it's there and how it might affect me.
Yeah, and I think that's a spot I'm in too.
Mm-hmm.
And so this conversation with Dr. Kelly Hagenbuch is really, I think, important for me as a farmer, because one of the things you just said, Dr. Kelly, is that where something grows is an indication perhaps of certain kind of soil, perhaps, in climatic conditions?
Absolutely.
And that might be a real, indicator for us as farmers of what the condition of our own farm is and, you know, what it is that we might be able to do to improve it, if, in fact, that's what it is that we want to do. But Dr.
Right.
Kelly, you know, as you've become so intensely focused on herbalism and on mushrooms, what are some of the things that kind of you've discovered along the way about these things that you're studying?
I think the most profound thing for me has been the discovery just recently of these networks of mycorrhiza, which is the fungus and the roots that are growing in soil, particularly of non-tilled soil or woodland soil. And the nutrient sharing that goes on among plants and trees, and how that actually does affect the nutritional intensity that a plant has. And I think some of those realizations that we're having in science in those areas will eventually creep over to better farming techniques and soil caring in the future.
So, you know, to focus on mushrooms now, what is a mushroom? You know, this thing that we see growing at the foot of a tree or on our lawns, what part of the plant is the mushroom that we see?
Well, we can think of the mushroom that we see as a bud or even a flower of the tree that's underneath the ground. We call mushrooms the fruiting bodies of the fungus that is underneath the ground. And so people get concerned about over-harvesting and things like that. And actually, mushrooms are pretty forgiving with that, because you're not actually damaging the tree when you pick a mushroom. We try to, when we collect mushrooms, to not damage the mycelium or the tree underneath as much as possible. And that's why many mushroom hunters hunt with mushroom knives, so that they can cut the mushroom stem and rather than pulling it up.
Ah, all right. So this is a different way of looking at a plant growing, because let's say when I pick a beet, you know, so I've got this root this bulbous thing. I pick up the beet. I notice that there's a trailing root, but I've got that beet in my hand. What you're saying is that, so this mushroom is a fruiting body or a flower, and are the roots then very different from what I'd normally think a plant root is?
Well, yes. It's more of the actual tree. It's inverted. Instead of the tree being above the ground, it's actually inverted and it's below the ground.
Oh.
And so fungus doesn't have roots like trees do, where they're, it's like the whole tree is the root.
Ah, okay. So that's very, very different.
Yes, and it is. And they're not plants. Mushrooms are not plants. Mushrooms are their own thing. In fact, in scientific studies just recently, they're even closer to humans than they are to plants. How about that?
Really? Wow, that really kind of sets a different tone as far as thinking about mushrooms go. But when it comes to our particular part of the United States, we're in the upper Midwest. And you work, it seems, particularly between Wisconsin and Minnesota. Are there lots of mushrooms to be had in our area?
A huge amount. There's probably over 20 different kinds that I collect on a regular basis every year for eating.
Wow. Okay, now that is interesting what you just said, for eating. Is it?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, this is a thing that prevents me from picking any mushroom, is I can't tell the difference between something that's edible and something that might be poisonous. Is it hard to tell the difference?
Yes, it is. There's much study that needs to go into such an endeavor of picking your own mushrooms in the wild. There are many mistakes that can be made by novices, and so some of the educational classes that I put together are specifically for novices to let them know what a big deal it is and how many different parameters that you need to pay attention to when you are mushroom hunting. Lots of people think that you can just go out with an expert, learn which ones are the good ones, and then you're good to go. But there's lots of mushrooms out there that are easily confused with other mushrooms that might not be good for you. And so it's not something that you go into lightly. But it is a very wonderful hobby once you do learn what to avoid and what not to avoid. It's just a wonderful hobby and something that is great to spend your time with in the woods.
So you really do have to put your mind to it for a bit so that you can really understand what it is that you're doing.
Absolutely. There's a definite method of study so that you can make sure that you get all the parts of the study. You know, I don't recommend people not study.
Got it. Yeah. And certainly that's the thing that makes me super cautious. Fortunately, you offer some classes and some walks that would help us. And in fact, you know, going to your website, I was very pleased to see the number of workshops that are available in our area for those who want to know more about both the wild plants and mushrooms. And let me just ask you really quickly, is mushroom season like only May, June, or does it extend further?
Oh, it's all summer long. It just begins with morels because they're about the earliest mushrooms that come out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the beginning. Each mushroom has its own favorite time during the summer. And, learning about what time that is part of the fun. I can tell what mushrooms are about to come just by the feel of the air anymore. So it's really exciting for me.
Could you kind of list off some of the mushrooms that are available in our area?
So some of the more popular mushrooms that people find are chicken of the woods or sulfur shelf mushroom, which is a big orange mushroom that grows on usually oak trees. There is, of course, the morels. There's chanterelle mushrooms, which are bright orange mushrooms that grow in the woods in the middle of the summertime. There are actually porcini mushrooms, which are also called king boletes. These are very prized mushrooms by restaurants and that kind of thing. They definitely grow here. One of my very favorite mushrooms to collect each summer is called hen of the woods. The scientific name for that one is Grifolia fondorosa. That's kind of fun to say.
Yeah.
But that one also, lots of mushrooms also have medicinal qualities as well, and that is one of those.
Ah, all right. You know, I'm looking at a page that I printed off of your website. And by the way, let's give that website so that people can go there after the show. What is your website?
Okay, my website is drweedmaster.com, all spelled out. And I have a Facebook page by the same name. The classes that I have on that website are continually changing because people call me up and want me to do a class, and then I'll go ahead and put it on the website.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that you've got numbers of classes coming up, beginning, and I'll just list off a few of them because I've got them printed out here because I thought, oh my gosh, it's coming right up. So on May 14th, you've got one on Lyme disease and herbal medicine, which I think lots of people have gained a whole lot of interest in because I'll tell you, tick season has started. And then a week later, you've got Mushroom 101. So people can begin to take a look at this, kind of learn the safety tips, and you cover at least 15 different types of edible mushrooms at that time, which is great. And that actually is a class that you can sign up for at the River Market Food Co-op in Stillwater. Then comes later in May, you've got an herbal intensives, which is actually something, a class that goes on for several weeks. You've got some coming up in Wisconsin, I noticed. And you will go to someone's home and backyard or farm and actually help identify what they've got growing there.
That's actually quite popular.
Is it really? So is it limited to city, or do you go out into Wisconsin, or where do you do this?
I go all over the place. I do charge mileage, so I'll make the time to drive out to somebody's place to do that. And usually about an hour to an hour and a half is usually what I spend.
What are some of the common questions that you get when you do one of these walks in which you're looking for mushrooms?
Point out the good ones.
Right.
That's probably the most common one. People aren't really interested in learning about all of the mushrooms. They just want to get to the good stuff. And really, there are no shortcuts when learning about mushrooms. You've got to learn about all of them so that you know what to look out for.
I would guess you need that comparison and contrast in order to be able to make sure that you got the right ones, I would think.
Yes, and that's, you know, that brings up an interesting point about people learning from the internet and from books where you just have pictures. It's really useful to be able to point out a mushroom and go actually mushroom hunting on your own, because there's so many different little nuances about mushrooms, like their smell, that you cannot get from a picture.
Sure. Yeah, I find that the internet is really terrific, and even some of the books that I have, and I've got quite a number of medicinal plant books, great pictures, interesting, you know, descriptions, but it doesn't tell you the whole story, and it doesn't even tell it very well, because even a phenomenal picture, and the Peterson Guide has some really great ones in it, mm-hmm. doesn't tell you everything.
And there's a difference in seasons and where it's growing and all sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah. So how many people can you take on a nature walk at one time?
I usually try to limit it to about 15 or 20 people. Otherwise, that you get too many crowds, and then they can't hear what you're saying, and you know, people miss things. And so ideally, it's a fairly small crowd on a walk.
Oh, that's good. Now, the other thing that I guess I've heard about gathering mushrooms is that those who hunt mushrooms, especially for edible purposes, really guard and keep secret those places where they tend to harvest the most. That makes me feel or think that, boy, there aren't a lot of places to go to then to harvest mushrooms. Is that the case?
I don't think that is the case, but I think it is true that when you find a real good bounty spot, you tend not to want to share it too much, because then, of course, all kinds of people will come, and then you won't have your bounty spot anymore. But those kinds of bounty spots can be found a lot of different places. It's just a matter of actually being outside and exploring, and lots of people don't have that kind of time anymore.
Ah. We come back to time and the ability to take a look.
And so, yes, the time. And so once they find a good spot, they might as well just go to that one.
Got it. Well, a little bit more about mushrooms. All right. So Do they tend to grow in specific kinds of places? I mean, are mushrooms always at the roots of trees or in shady spots?
Well, it just depends on the kind of mushroom that you're after. Each kind of mushroom has its own favorite little growing spot. So, you know, there's mushrooms that grow on trees. There's mushrooms that like certain trees to be around. You know, they grow on the roots of trees. And so a lot of times looking for the type of tree that a mushroom likes to be around is a useful way to find a mushroom spot. But also there's mushrooms that grow in prairies and mushrooms that grow in sandy soil and mushrooms that grow in the middle of the deep, dark woods and mushrooms that like more sunshine. And so it just depends on the kind of mushroom. They usually will concentrate around areas in between the woods and the prairie. So that's what I like to look for the best is sort of an in-between area because they like shade, but they also like sun.
Ah, all right. Now, I'm with you when it comes to thinking about, you know, taking a real walk with you and learning things before actually going out and picking anything myself. But you also do offer, however, an online class.
Yes, I just launched this class in February and through a website, a different website called WeAreWildness.com. It's a beginning foraging class, so it's sort of how to get the resources together to learn how to forage on your own.
Do you recommend that as a way to kind of start before taking maybe one of your courses?
Sure. It's a pretty cheap way to go. The course is only $29, and it lasts a lifetime. So it's something that's a useful tool for your back pocket. And then it also allows you to see if you have interest in moving on and going farther. I'm probably going to be doing a beginning herbalism class for them as well, probably toward the end of April or beginning of May.
Your website, once again, Dr. Kelly.
My website is drweedmaster.com, all spelled out.
Yeah, how long does it take for someone to become fairly, you know, competent, where you feel, okay, there's confidence there, I think that person can go out and hunt some mushrooms?
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, it's certainly an individual thing. It took me 2 years of intense study of mushrooms before I felt comfortable actually putting something in my mouth that I found in the woods. Even now, when I go hunt mushrooms, if I get something and I still find things that are completely unfamiliar to me, I will bring it home and study it immediately and sometimes up to 2 hours before I can actually identify it.
I had no idea that it might take that kind of intensive study.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of makes sense. And is that because things look so similar to one another?
It is. The amount of detail that we have to pay attention to with mushrooms is something that we're not used to doing. And so there's so many different little detail-oriented things that you have to look at. And training yourself to do that takes time because that's not what we do in our normal lives.
What aspects of those mushrooms are you looking at?
I'm looking at the structure of the mushroom. I'm looking at whether it has gills or pores, what kind of thing is underneath that mushroom. What does the stem look like? Is it hollow? Is it solid? Does it have a veil or a little piece of material on the stem? Does it have a vulva, which is a little envelope where it's growing out of? Veils and vulvas are good signals that you might have a poison mushroom, although not all of them, but it's something to pay attention to. I look at the decorations on the mushroom. So some mushrooms are kind of fuzzy on top or they have little warts, you know, all of those types of things. And definitely smell is one of the top things that I look at. Not all mushrooms smell mushroomy. Some smell like garbage or like chemicals.
Wow.
Or, you know, it's really amazing. A lot of mushrooms smell sort of anisey. There's quite a few things that you would look at like that. Some mushrooms change colors when you bruise them or you tear the mushroom material. They'll change colors, and that's also an identifying feature.
Well, those are just some of the things, I guess, that people would learn as they go to your classes. And Dr. Kelly, thank you so much for being here with us this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
Visit my website, bronxtobarn.com, to download this and past interviews, to learn about my farm, and to reserve 100% grass-fed beef. We deliver to Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. Thanks.